just stronger. Say stronger. We would just, Jesus would just be our genie in a bottle if we got our own way all the time, family. Amen. So, you know, I want you to know that God, listen to me. And this is just the truth. And if you glean nothing today, hear this. God has invested way too much in you and me. He's invested way too much for us to just give up right now. You know, some of us here this morning may be in the midnight hour. Some of you are just like, you know, I'm here at church, but you know, I just feel like dry bones. Who hasn't been there? Amen. I've been there, you know. Even this last week I was there. Here I'm in my recovery mode. And you know what's happened with me with my recovery mode? This, that, and the other. So I'm being challenged, and I did my communion last night, and there's things that I'm believing God for, even in my physical body this morning. But you know what? I'm going to have a full recovery, and I want you to be challenged, champions, because you deserve, to have the full recovery right along with me. But one thing I have learned, you're going to have to know what you possess. If you do not know this morning what you possess, you're not going to win the battle. But when Christ lives on the inside of us, we win. It's always a win-win situation. And once you know, family, what you possess, watch what happens. Passion comes. Passion comes. And you know what? Passion is the greatest thing, honestly, family, that we can have to have that full recovery. Because passion, are you ready, is what empowers us. If we don't have passion to what we're believing, and our belief system is going to wane. But when we wake up in the morning and say, you know what, David did it, and how many other people before me, all my forefathers, as well as the years, you know, that family has recovered all, I'm going to be the one that's going to be in the recovery process. Amen. Say, I win.
I win.
But then the next thing you have to know when you possess, you've got to know that God has the final say. We're too opinionated. Our opinion doesn't matter. It's what God has to say. What is his final say? When Jesus died on that cross, you know what he said? It is finished. It is finished. And that finished work means that we have all liberty to every benefit that God died for, or sent his son Jesus to die for. I am not going to curse Jesus afresh. If my Jesus said it, I believe it, and I'm taking the promises of God, and I'm taking those benefits, and I'm going to recover all. Amen. We need to be empowered this morning. You know, we've got to stay with the word. We've got to stay with the word. We win. I love that. Matter of fact, the word of God says, let all man be a liar. So look who's lying today if I'm not doing the word. If you're talking bad talk, you know, stop it. If you're putting yourself down, stop it. So many people today don't know how to forgive themselves. We got to walk in the forgiveness that God gives us and not walk in the shame because of things that we didn't do right and let that overshadow us to the next destiny that God has for us. You know, that's the one thing Satan does, is he wants to keep us down. He wants to suppress us with guilt and shame and condemnation. But God has the final say. I love that. We know the word is full of his promises. I exist this morning because of the promises of God. If I didn't have the promises of God, where would my hope be? What promise would I stand on? If Jesus is the rock of my salvation and I didn't do the word, what's worth living? Christ is my anchor. Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. And when I anchor myself in him, no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter where my emotions are, listen to me, emotions are only to keep you from where you need to be. We got to get a hold of our emotions today. Amen, family? I mean, you know, there's times, I'm telling you something, I have had to get a hold of my emotions. You know, this past year has been a roller coaster ride in areas of my life. And if I didn't have the promises and the word of God in my life, I don't know where I'd be today, whether I got the title of pastor or not. But it's when I take those emotions and put them in the balance, the frequency of the Holy Spirit, God does something so powerful in me. And it's like a ton of weight is removed from my mind when I can give it back to God and not take ownership of it. We got to let go and release the situations in our life, because 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, declares all the promises are. Say it like you mean it. Isn't that good news? God doesn't, he doesn't withhold nothing from his children. Nothing. The only thing is the limitations, family, is you. The only limitations is me, but it's not found in Christ Jesus, you know? So I love that. Let me show you some results of what restoration is, because, you know, I want to talk this morning just a little bit on joy. I have 3 points this morning. Number one, restoration brings joy. And here's some great news. Ready for some good news?
Yes.
Now watch. God will reestablish. I looked up that word, and it means find, create, and launch what the enemy has destroyed. God is about to do some great things. He's about to, you're about to turn the corner, just like when the promise came to Abraham with his son. Remember when the sacrifice, Abraham didn't see it, but the Bible says he took that knife and he was going to be obedient to God. But little did he know, he knew by faith. Because see, that's what we got to get. We've got to get the circumstances out of our heads and get onto the faith that God's going to come through for us. God is going to do what he says. The promises of our God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. They're yes and amen. And so here it was. Going to do it, Jesus. God, I'm going to do it. And here comes the ram. Bah, bah. Woo! I could just see. Can you imagine being that father? And he's got the knife up. He's going to believe God no matter what he saw. Because the circumstances was way too bleak, family. The circumstances says, I'm about to kill my child. And if you're a parent, you know that's a difficult way. I can't even use the word right for how bad it was. In Jeremiah 30, 17, he says, I will. And I love that. I'm going to say it again. I will restore you to health and to heal your wounds mentally, family, spiritually this morning. God's going to heal your wounds. I love that. And I'm standing in a healing. You know what? I got full recovery promise. Woo-hoo! Ah, you know what? I'm like David. You know, I fought the lion. I fought the bear. I don't even say this situation's a giant, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to face the giant, Brother Cale. I'm going to face that giant. And you know, and say, go back to hell where you came from. Woo-hoo! You know, we can't be martyrs any longer. See, we always won martyr, and it was God. It was Jesus on the cross. I mean, that really benefited us. We know in the Word, there was many martyrs. God bless them. I tell you, that's a tough thing. But the Bible says that Jesus was the martyr for the one-time sin in our life. Amen? Hebrews 12:2 says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Where's your focus this morning? I mean, let's be real with each other. My focus gets off too. You know, if I'm going to have 20/20 focus, I want to be on the one who can actually set me free. I want to have my focus on Jesus Christ, my Savior, Jesus Christ, my healer, Jesus Christ, my deliverer, Jesus Christ, the one that wants every good gift to come to Gloria Pruitt. He wants to excel me. He wants my destiny to be great. He wants it to be better than anything for all of us. Why? Because we're his family. We're his children. But when your focus grows dim on God and his promises, and your focus is all up on your circumstances, all about, and listen, I'm saying this to me too. Me, what I'm going, you don't understand what I'm going through, Pastor Gloria. No, if I told you what I've been through in the last, since 1974 and I gave my heart to Christ, listen, I could match your scars. I got some battle scars. You know, that's why I can stand up in front of you, because you know what? Been there, did that. Doesn't make it easy during the journey. But what it does, it liberates me in my consciousness to say what is the truth and what is a lie. Because once we take ownership of lies, of circumstances, it's really hard to see the truth beyond what we see in the natural realm. Amen? But we're going to do it. Say, I'm going to do it. Listen to Joel 2, 21 through 26. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read a portion of it. Listen to Joel. He says, do not fear, but be glad and rejoice, because God will do great things. Is that exciting? But the first thing he said that stuck out in my mind, I actually circled it when I was doing my lesson, do not fear. I believe fear is the largest component on the enemy's chart. Number one thing that can destroy a believer, one of God's kids, is fear. And we've all been there. And listen, I will be there again. Because when you hear something, when the suddenlies happen in your life, family, listen, it's hard not to have fear. But once we collect ourselves, we've got to get into a position in our spirit, man. And you know how that comes, family? You got to get in that word. I'm not saying be so religious you feel you have to read an hour and pray an hour. I mean, that would be good if we did, if it really came from a heartfelt experience, right, Pastor Doug? But I'm just saying we can't be so religious. But I mean so in tune with the Holy Spirit that, you know what, I want to get back to my first love. How about you? I want that. I want that first love relationship. Somehow it gets lost the older we get in Christ. And so because of that, we put down our guards. We put down our sword. We put down all the passion that we once had, amen? And we've all been there. But you know, I don't want dead men's bones. I want to have resurrected power, life, and especially in these days. But he says, don't fear. Here's the antidote. Listen to what he says. But be glad and rejoice, because God will do great things. Come on. First he starts out with the fear. Then he says, God, here's the antidote. Then he's going to do great things. He has given you, watch, the former rain moderately, and now he will give you the former and the latter rains. Watch, the floors will be full of wheat. Woo! Who can't shout about that? And the vats will overflow with wine and oil. You will have plenty. Say, I'm going to have plenty. Woo! You are. And praise God, and his people will never be ashamed. You know, our help cometh from above. You know, when we look into the one that is our Savior, and we keep our eyes upon the promises of God, and we will recover. You know, some of you are here this morning, and you say, I need to recover. You have to ask yourself today, because I don't know. Hypothetically, I'm asking you this. What family do you need to recover? What I have found in my journey with God, and I've said this so many times before, is when we're walking with God, Satan doesn't have a big arsenal of things that he plays tricks with us. I would venture to say each one of his arsenal against you and you and all of us is about this big. And you know what Satan finds that is the most productive against God's people? He takes the same little thing that you go through and I go through, whether it's insecurities or fear or marriage problems or all the things that we hate the most, whatever your situation is, and he takes that little bag and uses it on you over and over and over and over again. How long are we going to take it? Are we going to continue for the devil to come in our hearts and our minds and give us that same song and dance? How long before we say, I'm done with that? That is behind me. I've put that behind me. I'm moving on to great things in God. I have destiny. I have purpose. I've got the joy of the Lord. Just because I don't jump up and down and dance at the pulpit and dance at the floor doesn't mean I don't have the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is something that's so sacred on the inside of our temple. Jesus is in a greater, the Bible says, that he's that's in you. Right there, when you're born again, Jesus is the temple on the inside of us. And the joy, we resurrect that joy that's way deep inside, not in our mental emotions, but in the spiritual emotions. You know, and that's what gets me through. That's what gets me through the dark hours. That's what gets me through when fear comes, is that I can take that anointing that God's given me and actually use it for the glory of God for me. It's powerful. Say powerful. We haven't even tapped in, including myself, to the power of the Holy Ghost. We have no clue to the power, the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost that resides on the inside of us. And I believe the reason, family, we don't, because we don't exercise it enough. What you don't use, you lose. We do. I mean, all of us. We have to, you know, I was watching a special the other night, and this couple was moving to Poland, and, excuse me, into New York, but they wanted to move into a Polish neighborhood. And the reason they wanted to move into that Polish neighborhood is because they wanted to keep fluent in their first language. So when they were there, they could communicate it. Because why? You say, oh, people can't lose their language. Yeah, you can. All of a sudden, you're like, well, you know, like I always say, whatever. You get all fumbled in your language. Well, that's what we do as Christians. If we don't use the tools that God has given us, if we don't use our voice, if we don't use our spirit man to rise up and say, enough is enough, I'm not going to be jerked around anymore. I'm going to take the word of God, I'm going to apply it, and I'm going to cut that devil's head off in that area once and for all. So you got to get rid of that bag that's hanging over your shoulder, because maybe his bag is that big, family, but the bag you're carrying is like Santa Claus. It's a big bag, and it takes all those deers to pull that wagon, you know. You got to get rid of that sucker, you know. Just get rid of it, you know. I love it. And listen to what the word in that Joel finishes says. He will give you the former and the latter rains. The floor will be full of wheat and will overflow. I love it. So we can rejoice and be glad, amen? You know, I love that. But I have to tell you, some of us here today need a fresh new start. And we need to start rebuilding. You need to tear down the walls of Nehemiah in your life. And you got to, once they're tore down, rebuild. Restructure what you want. Because I have found that, again, I love these home shows, Property Brothers and all those. So I hear these things. And, you know, some people say, I want to walk into a turnkey house. Well, sorry, that don't work in Christianity. But what others say is, I want a house that I can make myself what I want it to become. And I'm telling you, I want to go into a stripped walls, stripped bathrooms, all the old, all the junk, amen, strip it down to the bare everything, and I want to put me in that house. I want to rebuild Gloria Pruitt. I want to rebuild my life for 2017 and make me better than I was in 1974 when I was hot for God, amen? I'm telling you, you know, we need to do that. Listen to what the rain in the scriptures means. And our pastor has actually preached on this. Could you bring me some my water crystal? It says, the rain in the scripture is the anointing or the smearing or the rubbing from God. When he starts to anoint us, listen, he will not just start a little, but he's going to really, really give us that strong anointing. Things begin to happen. Say, things begin to happen. The oil of liberty is going to overflow out of your vats, out of my vats. I'm so excited. Psalms 51:12 says, restore. That word restore means return or repair. Me, now watch, me, you got to point to yourself. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Of God's salvation. Restore to me. Grant me, I love this, a willing spirit to sustain me. So it's okay to go to our Father. He's our daddy. He's our Father, Abba Daddy. And, you know, we can go to him and say, you know what? Sustain me. Get me through this mess. But the key thing is I'm not staying here anymore. I've been in this mess for 6 years or 1 year or 5 months. Why? Not even for a minute are we going to take that from him. I love that. So, family, I can't say how many times, I'm telling you, me personally, I had to take that scripture and apply it to my own walk. Sustain me. Give me the joy of my salvation back. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I have the peace that passes all understanding. I am the head and not the tail. I will go forward to my destiny. Nothing's gonna stop me. Because you know what? When God paves a way, listen, the path is, no bulldozer could do that in our life. Only the Holy Ghost can pave that way. He already knows your destiny. It's all ready for us. Is there going to be obstacles? Yes. Do you know why? God don't want to do everything for us. God wants us to grow, mature, and develop. There's too many undeveloped, there are too many immature Christians in the body today that's been saved 15, 20, 30 years. And they're no different. They're sucking on the bottle of milk rather than chewing on the meat of the word. Just exactly. Now listen, if that's you, I don't know your history. It's time to say no more Baba, getting rid of the bottle. Bye-bye. Bye-bye milk. I don't need you no more. And I want to get a juicy prime rib steak or whatever. Yeah, right, right. Woo! Makes me hungry for steak. Hallelujah. Because we know life can rob us. We're all aware of that. Amen. Robs us of our peace, robs us of our joy. Oh, my gosh. Man can't fix us. You know what man can do? Man can encourage us. Man can inspire us. But man can't fix us. I'm not saying we can't turn to man. I've done it a bazillion times in my life for prayer and just share my heart and my hurts or whatever. And then, but then after you do that, you got to shut the door to that. And you got to move forward. Because if you try to let man fix you, man cannot fix you. What God can do in a moment's time, yielding things to the Lord, he can do more in one moment of time than man can do in a lifetime. And we never change when we turn to man. Men can't, I can't change you today. I can't set you free. I can't give you hope and peace. I can bring you the word that's anointed, but I personally can't do that for you. We have to take ownership of our spiritual life. We have to get excited. And one of the ways that we get excited is about soul winning. Look out of our own need. In my most desperate time, and Pastor Doug, I don't know if you remember, but I was like sick unto death. You remember that back in Beloit. I went down. I was 35 pounds thinner than I am right now. I wore heavy clothes. I did everything because I didn't want anybody to say, what's the matter with you? But I'm going to tell you something. When I put my hope and my purpose in God, and I said, I've got to take ownership of my own life, and I've got to do this lest I die, God came through. God will come through, I'm telling you. But you got, you know, man couldn't do that for me. I turned to man, and I felt more hopeless after because I didn't get what I wanted because you know what God says? I want you to turn unto me. Fix your focus on me. Fix your eyes upon the promises that I've declared for you. Because when Jesus went to the cross, remember what he said? He said, by my stripes you've been healed. Because of your sin, you've been healed. Your iniquities have been redeemed. Your health has been redeemed. Your mental status has been redeemed. And I'm going to tell you something else. Your family's been redeemed. Your marriage has been redeemed. Hallelujah. Your finances have been redeemed. Come on. Everything that you're believing God for today, family, has been redeemed. God's not going to come back and die on that cross again. What we got to do is get the joy of the Lord, restoration to take place of what happened on that cross 2,000 years ago. I love it. I love it, you know? But I had to rely on it, and I mean, you know what? I'll continue. You got to trust in God's word to restore us. Trust him. He's your, listen, do you wake up every day and say, oh, God, am I going to heaven? Am I going to heaven? If you are, you need deliverance because God did it. So why do we get up every day and say, oh, my God, my finances look crappy. Oh, my God, my marriage is falling apart. Oh, my God, my health. Look at, you know, I used to be able to do that, but I can't do that. No, we got to take the redeeming factor of what happened 2,000 years ago and say, you know what? I will run and I will fly like the eagles. I will run and not be weary. I will walk. I will not faint. You know, because God's already made the provision. So what does joy produce? Really quick, I'm just going to name off five things and move on. Joy is powerful like dynamite. Ooh, yeah. Joy can be restored daily. I love it. Joy is knowing God is for us and not against us. Oh, how he loves you and me. I love that song. Joy is not a feeling. Come on. It's knowing. It's a revelation. You've got to know. Lastly, joy is the product of the finished work of the cross. So, what are we seeing here? Putting God first in every situation does what? Brings the joy back into your life. Some of you feel so helpless. You don't have any joy anymore. But that's all lies. We can redeem that. We can get that back through Christ. Amen. It brings the joy back. And then what I like to say, it's a win-win situation. But you've all heard that story where it says, fake it till you make it. There's actually truth in that, family. I have had to fake it till I make it so many times and not give place to the devil, but move forward in the anointing that's on the inside of me, praise God. Number two, we can rejoice knowing that God's payback will come from the hand of the Lord. Here's a scripture that I really need to memorize, and maybe you too. It's found in Habakkuk 3:17-18. Watch. When the fig tree will not blossom, there is no fruit on the vine, and the fields yielding nothing. Watch. I still will rejoice. Do you have fruit on your tree of what you're believing? Maybe not. Maybe the leaves are thick and they're all there, but there's no fruit. But you know what Jesus says? Even though it's yielding no fruit right now, watch. You can still, watch, that's the word of the Lord. I will still rejoice in the Lord. I will still rejoice. Not feel sorry for ourselves. Get into self-pity mode. Not say, woe is me. How come brother and sister over there is getting prosperous? You don't know their life. We don't know each other's story. Not really, unless you're really, really close. But watch this. In verse 18, God is my strength, my happiness. Watch, which comes from comfort. But joy is from what we know. When bad things happen, we can rejoice because we have the God of restoration. Woo! That just means renewal. We all need to have a renewal. I need a renewal this morning. When we do this, listen, we take our mind off our situations and praise God. All the circumstances become so in the past. You know, it's just that's the way it is. Don't feel ashamed or condemned. Amen. If you're going through it, just start fresh today. In Isaiah 61:7, it says, for your shame, now listen, some of you need to hear this. For your shame, you will have double, and for confusion, they will rejoice in their portion. They will have everlasting joy. God is going to recompense that, all that you've been hit in the head with. We will have shame, but he will give us, watch, a double portion for it. Oh, come on. Who hasn't suffered some guilt and shame? Amen. But God's going to give us a full recovery, restitution, restoration, just as like it never happened, and God is going to set us free. I love that. We can step into that moment. That's all I can say of new beginnings. Sometimes we just have to take that leap of faith. Amen. We can do that. We can feel the hope of restoration and what's been stolen. And guess what happened? Victory becomes ours. I love it. In the book of Job, without turning, when Job prayed for his friends, remember the story? God turned Job's captivity into twice of what he had. He went through hell. We don't even know what that was like. Secret, we must learn to praise God during the hard times. It's not just during the good times. Oh, hallelujah, I just got $1,000 at the lottery. Woo-hoo! That's temporal. But when we can pray to the Jehovah God, and we can let all of our heart belong to Christ our Savior, great things happen, amen? Job's turned into twice as much. Praising him even when we don't feel like it, that's the biggest sacrifice. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've done that. And was it easy? No. I had so much snot and tears in the carpet from time to time in my life. And I'll tell you, it was not a pretty situation. But when I got up from that floor, family, you know what I said to the Holy Spirit? You know, I will not be moved from this spot till you set me free. I refuse to move from this spot until I feel your presence. And that I know that you are my victory and my hope. Because I knew that if the choices that I made today would affect my whole family for the next day. So sorrow and pain that we go through, family, is really a springboard, if you will, into your destiny. If you haven't experienced pain, you'll never be strong. If you haven't experienced sorrow and sadness in life, you'll never be the character that God is looking for in your life. It's only when I begin to learn the secret of worshiping my Father under circumstances that were not very happy. And I'm coming to the conclusion right now. We must learn to, during those times, again, to get, that's how we'll receive the joy of the Lord. In the Word, it talks about Nehemiah. Great, great teachings out of that. I'm not going to pull up the scripture, but Nehemiah, in the story, became very angry with the nobles. And the Bible says they were taking too much money. They were robbing them, just like we're talking about today. The thief came into the camp, amen? And it says that he demanded, watch, the return of what was taken. Nehemiah, now watch, declared restitution. That's our key word today, guys. Restitution belongs to the believer. Restitution is what God sets us free with. It's not in the circumstances of our world. It's Jesus bar none. Amen. Can you say amen? He declared restoration, and that's something many Christians do not do. We are not declaring. I know Pastor Barb has been preaching on the mouth, the word. Listen, take those series that she's doing seriously, because that is going to get into your heart. You got to cultivate that hard soil. And I say, well, I heard that before. No, every day I need to hear the word of God on what my mouth is saying. Because when he said Nehemiah declared it, that meant his mouth opened and said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm taking it back. And you are not going to rob our city anymore. You are robbers and thieves. But you know what? Not going to be allowed anymore. Woohoo! I love it. So he did that. And in Psalms, I'm closing, 107:2. Let the redeemed of God say so, whom he has delivered from the enemy. Do you love it? The redeemed are the ones who've been restored. Are you redeemed today? Yes. Oh, come on, say it. Say, I'm redeemed. Yes. You are redeemed. So am I. We don't have to feel it. The ones that have been restored, that speaks a revelation to you right now. Don't forget, in Christ, this is how I want to end, you have your total anchor. Don't turn to man on every little situation. Don't want the sympathy or the encouragement or whatever. Let the encouragement come through the word of God. Pray with one another and let the door be shut. Shut the door so you can have the success. When you're in the deep battle that feels like you're hopeless, remember this. All things are possible with Christ, amen. Give God some praise. Can you give him some glory? Come on, you can do better. I know it's early service, but let's give God. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Woo, he's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Could you please stand to your feet this morning?